secret videotapes, bug conversations, and spying from a rooftop with binoculars. No, we're not talking about the CIA. This is the National Football League. We're all familiar with athletes who cheat by taking physical enhancements like steroids, but that's not the only type of cheating that goes on in the professional world of sports. Last year, the New England Patriots got caught videotaping their opponents' defensive signals, and that is hardly the only example of its kind. In an opinion piece for the New York Times called Sacks, Lies, and Videotape, author Mark Bowden, says a minor degree of cheating in all sports at all levels will always be part of the game, so get over it. Cheating in sports, do you tolerate or even enjoy it when you play? How have you cheated in a game? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now is Mark Bowden. He's the national correspondent for the National Monthly, and his piece for the New York Times, Sacks, Lies, and Videotape. He also has a new book out called The Best Game Ever, Giants versus Colts, 1958, and the Birth of the Modern NFL. He's with us by phone today from Towson in Maryland. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Neil.
And the Patriots spying, well, a lot of people were very upset, including the noted Philadelphia Eagles fan, Arlen Specter, the senator from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we're all still hurting in Philadelphia from having been defeated in the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Nevertheless, you suggest that, it's not the first time there's been espionage in professional football.
No, not at all. In fact, you know, the book I just finished writing, The Best Game Ever, is about the famous 1958 NFL championship game, which had 17 future Hall of Famers involved, and one of the things that was featured in that game was active spying. The Colts had their advance scout in New York a week before the game, sitting on a rooftop with binoculars, watching the Giants practice, and taking notes about what sorts of plays they intended to use in the game.
So that's why we lost. We were robbed.
Well, you know, and also when Weeb Eubank, the head coach of the Colts, was in the Giants, or rather the visiting locker room at Yankee Stadium, and he wanted to remind his players of the first three plays of the game, which he had scripted, he didn't dare speak it out loud. He mouthed the plays because he was convinced that the visiting room was bugged.
And also in that game, the defensive coordinator for the Giants was Tom Landry, who later became a Saint with the Dallas Cowboys, of course. But yeah, he was not above a little espionage himself.
That's right. He writes in his own autobiography about a game in 1956 between the Giants and the Cleveland Browns, when the NFL first began its flirtation with coaches radioing in the play calls to the quarterback. And so the Landry's man found a way to intercept the radio calls, and he was running the defense, so he would get the play call before Paul Brown's team had a chance to execute it, and they ended up blowing them away.
Which is not all that dissimilar from what Bill Belichick was doing with the New England Patriots.
Not at all. I mean, that involved, in that case, electronic eavesdropping, and in the case of Belichick, it's using a video camera, and the case of Eubank, it was just somebody with binoculars taking notes. My point is that I think it has long been a part of the pro game. In fact, it's long been a part of American sports, and it's indefensible. I mean, people shouldn't cheat, but it's a fact of life.
And as a kid growing up, I think you write in your piece, you were taught how to, well, get every little advantage you possibly could.
Exactly. Like when I played baseball in high school, at that time, they probably still do, have bases that were fastened to a spike in the ground by a strap. And there was about a foot of play in that strap. So when you took your positions in the infield, we were instructed to kick the base as far away from home plate as the strap would hold it, adding another foot to the length that the runner had to run before we threw them out. So that's just a small example, but it was part of the game.
It seemed to be within the rules.
I'll tell you what, if anybody could figure out how to throw a good spitball, they would have done it too.
Well, Gaylord Perry figured out how to throw a good spitball, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
That's right. I think you have to be a pro to really know how to do that effectively. But, you know, I certainly, when I have these wonderful scenes when umpires challenge pitchers in baseball, you know, when there's an accusation that they have Vaseline smeared on the inside of their glove or a a nail file. You know, they're scenes of hilarity rather than really scenes of outrage. And, you know, I think Belichick got fined, which was appropriate, but, you know, hauling him in front of Congress, I think is a bit extreme.
Let's see if we can get some listeners on in the conversation. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. To what level do you tolerate cheating in sports? We're talking, of course, with Mark Bowden, the national correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly and author of The Best Game Ever, Giants versus Colts 1958 and The Birth of the Modern NFL. We'll begin with Demetrius. Demetrius calling us from Cleveland in Ohio.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I called in. I do, to a degree, tolerate cheating, especially if there's no rule against it. It's not cheating unless you get caught. I played basketball and football competitively for a lot of years, and I always tried to gain that edge however I could, whether it was touching a guy's elbow when he was shooting a basketball, in a dog pile in the football, punching someone in the ribs when the refs can't see. You know, it's all fair in love and war.
As long as the ref isn't looking.
Exactly. And, I mean, even if the ref is looking, if there's not a rule against it, and if they don't call it, then it's all fair. You got to be better and find that edge however you can. And it's about rising above all the unfair play, because if you really are that much better, then you can rise above it.
Mark Bowden, I think Demetrius, speaks for a lot of us.
Oh, it's certainly true. Back in the, you know, years ago when I covered the Philadelphia Eagles football team, you know, I talked to the cornerbacks, Ben Smith and Eric Allen, and they had turned clinging to people's, to receivers' jerseys into an art form. They knew when the receiver was between them and the umpire or the referee, and they could get a fistful of jersey, and that pretty much prevents a guy from running away from you.
Oh, yes. I mean, I was a defensive specialist when I played basketball, and I did every little thing that I could, whether it was sticking my foot out to knock a guy down, and my specialty was touching the elbow. That severely alters someone's shot, and that, you know, if they don't call it, it's something you can't really see. And so if it doesn't get called, then I'm going to do it until someone says, don't do that anymore.
Demetrius, a defensive specialist in basketball, I was one too, meant that I had no shot at all.
Oh, exactly. Yes,
okay.
Me too.
Thanks very much for the call, and keep up the practice from the free throw line.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Sean. Sean's with us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Hi. My question is, do you see a difference between someone who uses performance-enhancing drugs or, you know, other items, and someone who actually cheats within sort of the structure of the rules of the game? I find that I'm not quite as enraged about Barry Bonds or, of course, being in St. Louis, Mark McGwire, people like that. But, you know, to find out that maybe the Rams walkthrough was taped, I find myself going, what's going on? What do you think?
I'm actually the opposite. I think that the kind of cheating that Belichick engaged in and that and Weeb Eubank did, basically trying to gather intelligence about your opponent, is of a lesser order than taking steroids, which I think alters your ability to perform, and it physically changes you and gives you a physical advantage over the other side. And to me, that's a certainly a far more serious thing to do health-wise, but also a more egregious example of cheating.
Thanks for the perspective. Thanks.
Sean, thanks very much for the call. There's cheating to win, which I guess we've been talking about. There's also another level of cheating, point shaving or throwing a game, the Black Sox scandal, and I would assume that that would be over the line for you.
Oh, yeah, without any doubt. I mean, I think everything is over the line. If you get caught, you deserve whatever happens to you. My point was not to defend it. I think it'd be a wonderful world if everyone competed without any trying to gain any sort of illegal advantage. But my point is rather that this has always been a part of sports. It's certainly been a part of professional football. And so we shouldn't all act so shocked and surprised.
Let's see if we can get this is Mark, and Mark's with us from Troy in Illinois.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Good, thanks.
Well, you know, I'm trying to equate this to modern warfare. You know, there's a lot of parallels between sports and modern warfare, and it's interesting that when we look at spies in the past in history, we vilify them if they spy for personal gain, and they're heroes if they do it for the good of the country. You know.
Well, we tend to vilify them if they're on the other side.
Well, we do, but if you look at the just for instance, there was a show on HBO recently about the recent case, and I can't remember the guy's name right off the top of my head, but he was with the FBI for 25 years. He spied for the Russians.
Robert Hansen, I think, was his name.
That's who I'm talking about. Robert Hansen was all about Robert Hansen, you know, and I think if he had been more of an idealist and been all about trying to help the Soviet Union and been a Soviet citizen, we may have looked at him a little bit differently.
Yeah. You see any parallels, Mark Bowden?
Well, somewhat. I mean, I think we all know, everyone who has any acquaintance with foreign affairs knows that the embassies have spies in them, and major embassies around the world are centers for spy operations against other countries. So when, for instance, Iran seized the American embassy in Tehran in 1979 and held the entire embassy staff hostage because they claimed the United States was spying on Iran, why were they so shocked? They were shocked because they were young and naive, and they didn't realize that that sort of thing goes on at every embassy around the world. So, and there are some parallels.
Mark, thanks very much for the call.
Uh-huh.
We're talking with Mark Bowden of the Atlantic Monthly, author of The Best Game Ever, Giants versus Colts, 1958, and The Birth of the Modern NFL. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Rick, and Rick's with us from Miller Place in New York.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, do you think that this cheating is, this lack of ethics, rather, is causing these up-and-coming athletes, high school level? First, I want to say that also I disagree with cheating completely. I disagree with performance enhancers. I can't say that that's any way to play a sport because that's not even fair competition whatsoever. But do you feel that this is, do you feel it's, you know, students that are going to be graduating from high school or college are going to say, why bother if everybody's cheating?
Well, I don't think that what's going on today is any different than what has always gone on. In fact, that was my point in writing the piece for the New York Times and reporting and researching one of the most famous games ever played in the NFL. In fact, the NFL Hall of Fame calls it the greatest professional game ever played. We know for a fact that the Colts spied on the Giants the week before. And Wee Bubank, the coach of the Colts, believed firmly, and he was not a stupid man, that he was being spied on by the Giants. Again, my point is not that cheating is defensible. It's not. It would be a better world if it didn't happen. My point is that we shouldn't all act so startled and surprised that the New England Patriots were engaged in it. It's been a part of not just professional football, but I think sports for as long as people have been playing games.
Yeah, but is it going to be like a harsh surprise for someone who comes up to the professional level to see all of this going on? I mean, isn't someone going to want to do the right thing?
I think what we're arguing about here ultimately is human nature. Anyone who is serious enough about playing football or any other sport who makes it to the level of the NFL, I suspect will have encountered the kinds of practices that go on in a highly competitive environment long before they get to that point.
Oh, it's upsetting, but I guess that's the name of the game, huh?
In my experience, it is. And, you know, it's nothing to get too terribly upset about. There are bigger, you know, worse problems in the world. And I think when people get caught cheating, they should be punished, as Belichick has been. But I do think, you know, that that we ought to all recognize that it's not that rare.
Well, like in comparison to, like, you know, in the 70s, Steve Prefontaine having a better shoe making him a better runner versus a runner being on steroids now to enhance performance. I mean, you know, one thing is, you know, change the shoe. Another thing is to change the bodily structure. That's, you know, it's pretty harsh.
It's different. People are, I mean, there are regulations about equipment in all sports. And, you know, remember the famous corked bat episode in Major League Baseball. There are guys who try to get an edge one way or another.
Sammy Sosa's bat exploded and out popped a cork.
Okay. Thank you so much, by the way.
Thanks very much for the call. And Mark, before we let you go, if we, to some degree, are amused and tolerate this on some level in sports, particularly on a minor level, obviously there are lines that should not be crossed. You shouldn't try to maim anybody. But nevertheless, there are people who have romantic memories of sneaking cheat sheets into tests and that sort of thing, where it is a little bit more serious.
It is. I do think that, the leagues ought to police themselves, that people who break the rules ought to have to pay the penalty. But I suspect that if anybody undertook a serious investigation of teams in the NFL, they would find that what Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots were doing is fairly commonplace.
And just the fact that these videotapes still existed and were around, it was a former member of his own staff who busted him, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, so obviously they weren't terribly concerned about a crackdown.
That was a member now of the coaching staff of the New York Jets. Mark Bowden, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Neil.
Mark Bowden is national correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly. His opinion piece for the New York Times is called Sacks, Lies, and Videotape. His new book is The Best Game Ever, Giants versus Colts, 1958. I guess they weren't Giants fans who read that. And The Birth of the Modern NFL. He joined us by phone from Towson in Maryland. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.